Obviously, there's a winning culture here at the Academy. And when you bring the black and gold, you bring the Athena Shield to the table. When we do show up, what I hope happens is the opponent's like, oh man, Army's here.
720 WGN high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio. Excited to have on the line a visionary leader, educator on the cutting edge, and a guy who's taking all the fun of gaming and esports very seriously. He's the deputy director of West Point Simulation Center and director of Army West Point Esports, Victor Castro. Welcome to WGN.
Oh, thank you so much, Dane. It's so great to be here. I appreciate all the kind words, man. This is really fun. It's exciting.
Well, it's supposed to be fun, right? We mentioned the open video games are supposed to be all about fun. Big business for sure. But, you know, it all starts with people, typically younger people, initially to have a great time. That hasn't changed. At this point, I think almost every kid has probably played some kind of video game at some point. And that goes back a couple generations. Victor, have you always been into video games? Like, how did this whole connection with this start for you?
Well, like you said, it was for me, too. So going from, again, we'll try not to date our age at this point, but you can imagine, like, they're introducing, you know, television and console gaming, and there's the battle for, like, you know, Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo, and then the first PlayStations. Again, I think the listeners are going to start to date us at some point, but, you know, it became impactful to us because there's this unifying connection for friendships and things, and the different cliques are starting to grow up. And obviously sports is still super dynamic and doing those kinds of things, getting out, touching grass, playing in the street, you know, playing wiffle ball and fun things like that where I was growing up. And then you have console gaming in its early stages, to then now have this next thing where, you know, young men and women are coming together and screaming and yelling and laughing and having a great time. So, you know, our generation grew up with that as well as part of those things that we did together. And then it really wasn't intertwined with school so much. You know, if we remember back into our middle school and high school times, but, you know, you would run to get home. You know, maybe a new game is coming out. You know, gone are the days of standing outside and getting to the new game. But all of those things became this, you know, event kind of thing going on, you know, and then we're starting to see the students that are in the middle school, high school stage have this become more of a dynamic influence on them. And this is starting moving us towards how the Academy is adapted to it.
Yeah, it's really changed quite a bit. It used to be something you'd be punished for playing games, right? Now you're being rewarded.
Yes.
It's part of the curriculum. So, Victor, games, definitely, they've gotten better. They've been more real. Like, as a little kid, the Mattel football that we play on the bus was just like red dots and lines, right? And now adding virtual reality, the realism, I mean, it's off the charts.
Well, I'll tell you what, even when somebody was playing like the handheld, like Tecmo Bowl or whatever, there was still a crowd. You know, if you look at it, there's probably a small group of like two or three people looking over the shoulder and watching. Imagine somebody playing Tetris and like, oh, they did it. That was early stages of esports, and people don't realize it. There was a little bit of an excitement. There was a little bit of yelling, and, you know, there's a little bit of competition here. Let me see. My turn's next. You know, I could do better than you. And those are the early stages of that competition that's in there.
Yeah, you think about it. It's bringing people together. That's what it's always kind of done for you, bringing games to West Point. A little bit about that journey and feedback. It seems to make so much sense, but cutting edge, right? But with legendary tradition, you know, being the core at West Point, it is something new. How has it been received?
Well, we would all agree that the Academy is a representation of the nation. And if the different states and how our different leaders want to take, you know, men and women that are a diverse representation of the United States and then our foreign partners and have them come together and then be, you know, future officers for the United States Army. So what the Academy does extremely well is the leadership at the Academy across the side of the Dean, the USEC, our garrison, all these leaders get together and they decide, do we have a full understanding of the picture of what, you know, men and women across the United States are today? Part of my role as a simulation specialist, as well as an instructional designer, is to say, okay, what does a student look like today? Right. You know, what are their passions about? What's going to be the things that help them persist in learning? And this is also across the education community. You know, we're understanding that, you know, again, your listeners are going to argue with me because I'm like, hey, all learning is the same. And they're like, no, it's not. I'm a book learner, or I'm a visual learner, or I'm a hands-on learner. But ultimately, the human brain has the ability to learn regardless of its deliverable or how it's delivered to the person. What changes is what the amount of the student's persistence in the learning and the attitude of the learner. So if we go up with an old school, hey, you know, man, I'm going to keep dating ourselves here. The old school, like, overhead projector with the acetate, and they were, like, doing math problems on that. Use that today. I dare you. You know, and watch what happens to your students. Number one, you're going to get laughed out of the room. And then number two, they're going to be like, what? Like, they're not going to connect with the learning and have it as reliable and valid and something that they're going to want to interface with. But what didn't change was the math problem. It's still that learning. It's just about how we're delivering it. So what we're understanding now is students are resonating with technology. They're also resonating with speed and the speed of the learning and how it's delivered. It's almost like you're getting this fire hose of information and a visual representation, high graphics, color, music, and all these different platforms so that it immediately resonates with the human on the other side. So human-machine interface is what has changed over time. So now, like, look how you and I are resonating with the technology, and then now think about kids that are this age now that are going to come to the academy.
But to your point, Victor, though, I got to tell you, kids these days, generation, and I don't know what it is or really exactly how it works, but they're hardwired to do this. They're hardwired to this technology more so than other people. Our two-year-old was like running the iPad before we could even figure out how to like call the helpline or anything like that. Now, new games, they're being created all the time. Is there, like, fill us in and the listeners, is there a set of group, like a group of games or a list of games that you, the cadets in the particular schools that you guys focus on?
Well, part of Army West Point Esports design is to ensure that the gaming platforms that we use parallel with the superintendent's, you know, intent and the guidelines and all the leadership in between. So you're going to find that all the platforms we use have at its core a design for communication, team building, strategy, you know, making decisions on what they're going to use in regards to the game, and then having an expectation of what their opponent is going to use. And you can see how that may resonate with some of the learning that's here. You know, a cadet that's put into a role of leadership in the Army West Point Esports program now has to deal with personality. They've got to deal with argumentative people, somebody that feels that they may be better than the person that's on their team. And these different instances. So certain games lead to that intrinsically. So if you, again, we're just pick titles, but we personally play titles like Valorant, Overwatch, League of Legends, Call of Duty, Apex Legends, Rocket League, and Rainbow Six Siege. Those particular games, by design, have us versus them, time constraints, and win criteria. So given all those platforms now, you know, as a program, we have the left and right limits of the learning environment. You know, arguably our varsity players, all of our players in our program don't think it's a learning environment, but we actually know that it is. You know, like, we're fooling. No, we're not fooling them. We don't want to fool them. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're just making sure that I have the ability to say, hey, you know, talk to me about what went wrong with that game and how are you going to do it, fix it better next time. These are those learning environments that is that deliberate practice that we're looking for. So certain game titles persist. And again, we're not shutting down any other game. Some of these games are fantastic, but the games that have a single cadet versus another player are probably not giving us the communication we're looking for. They're not giving us, there's still strategy. You know, I can't win Fortnite. I still have yet to win a game. It's like an amazing skill for some, what these young men and women can do in that game. But again, putting a cadet in that position to spend the time necessary when they could be using that time for, you know, academically, is hard to sell.
Victor, afterwards, like after the games, and you think about the games as sport and competing, the valuable lessons to be learned on the teamwork side, talk a little bit about like the benefits to cadets. Do you share with them and have them be able to say, hey, this is this skill, this experience is transferable to some of the other things that you may be learning at the academy?
Yeah, the most dynamic one is effective communication. Like, how do you speak to somebody in a team environment? And again, this translates even to the workforce today for anybody that's listening. Like, how do you communicate effectively with respect to each other? You know, and one of the main functions in a military analysis is the after-action review. You know, again, we'll acronym this all day long, but the AAR. So in the after-action review, the sustained elements that we want to keep, the things we did well, and the improved elements that have to be discussed, we try to limit it to like 3 or 4 per person, depending on the size of the group, come to the table. The key there is that the leader that's pretty much running the AAR has to set a stage of respect and growth when you're talking about the AAR. It's really not just like a bashing session. And when you do come with an improve, we ask that you provide a suggestion to improve. You know, obviously we can just yell all day long. You know, the game was horrible. We got beat extremely bad. You know, you can argue, you can blame all day long. Yeah. But then what are we going to do about it? And what's your suggestion to fix it? And what comes out of that is a process that's very similar or almost identical to what the Army process is today. So the Army, you know, a commander will put into effect a large training environment, and he or she will then say, okay, we're done. We call it a pause exercise or a pause X. And everybody take your helmets off, take off all your gear, relax. Let's get together and see what we did right and what we did wrong. And that still happens today in the Army.
As you're looking with the cadets and they're not realizing exactly what they're learning while they're having a great time, as you're able to share some of that transference with your other leaders there at West Point, do you have to kind of like share them, hey, here's what they did. Here's how this is the same really as what it is that we're trying to teach them. Have you been able to have teachable moments with the other staff there as you get people more used to doing some of these things?
Absolutely. It's definitely a chicken egg thing where we have to build the environment to demonstrate to people that don't understand competitive gaming and esports to see what it looks like. So when they enter into the varsity gaming space, they're like, wow, like this is legit. I'm like, yes, and let me explain more. Like, our first campaign was to inform the West Point community. It was to inform the leadership. It was to bring all the data matrices to play, you know, the different qualitative and quantitative matrices that would be in here for as like commanders would want and leaders would want to know. So that whole campaign was just to inform parents. It was to inform spouses and children about, when you see this come across as a representation of the academy, here's why we did it. So what I had to do as a director is, you know, build up the whole entire environment and then have somewhat of a small sample of it, because it's so much easier to show somebody as opposed to try to slide deck it and throw data. You know, we actually did a literature review on the impacts of competitive gaming in learning. And we looked for source material, you know, scholarly material to bring to the table so that our academic partners here at the Academy would appreciate these true real world applications of it in an academic sense. Once that was done, then we went 100 miles an hour into the entertainment slash, you know, developmental side.
Yeah, you look at the situational awareness, super beneficial for training to ultimately become military officers, which is what you do. You mentioned the varsity scenario, right? And the environment and community. Is there any pressure, Victor? Because West Point has a reputation for being the best and the brightest when it comes to some of these games and competitions. You know, those other schools would love to beat you guys. Do the cadets feel any of that? Or do they just kind of see it as, hey, you know, it's games and it's fun? Or do they feel any pressure to, you know, to represent?
Oh, absolutely. You know, obviously there's a winning culture here at the Academy. And, you know, when you bring the black and gold, you bring the Athena Shield to the table. We are working with the Army West Point brand within the Army West Point brand guidelines. So when we do show up, yes, like what I hope happens is the opponent's like, oh, man, Army's here. Crap. All right. You know, OK, so what are we going to do about this? You know, because, you know, we're coming where we're very structured, very aggressive. You know, it's immediate, punch you in the face right away, just test your might and then try to win decisively. And that's all about what our cadets are trying to, you know, practice, deliberately practice. Now, I will say that the Army West Point Esports program is all about teaching cadets time management as well and balancing their academic requirements, their military requirements, you know, character, physical fitness. So the Army West Point Esports program also takes on time. We don't have as much time as some universities in regards to investing in a personal growth in the game system, as well as a team-based learning. So we find ourselves at a 52% win rate right now. So what we hope happens over time is that we get a little bit better and we get into reasonable, like a 57%. We're not trying to get like 90% all the time because we know it takes time. So that's that winning culture, is they understand their current position. They know that they're going to do their best given the circumstances, you know, having trained as much as they could possibly train with the time that's allotted, and then have reasonable expectations about their performance.
We know experience in this for the future and whatever endeavors the cadets may have down the road, we know that it's going to pay dividends. We mentioned, you know, Bigfoot in the esports. It is a big business on the racing side. Just because of the realistic experience, transferable skills, simulators are part of every race team in the highest level. Racers can make full careers, salaries, top YouTube gamers, part of a highly paid group. And so Do you think about that to where no matter what happens, and we've talked about the transferable skills on the situational and the military side, I think just in general, right, this is going to pay dividends for them out in the wider world.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And that's what we hope. And then what we have to do as staff and faculty is we try to create these environments that can become recallable to the cadet as samples of what right could look like. Yeah, we can take, you know, the individual things are being taught, but the structure of the teaching, we teach them something here called the 8-step training model. And inside of there, you have some legitimate things like identify your plan, you know, the different things you're going to train to do it, your rehearsals, you know, did you write down a narrative about what was going to be trained? You know, you conducted the training, then you analyzed the training, then you implemented change. It's very similar to even the scientific method when we learned about just make observations and then write down your observations, then, you know, come up with a hypothesis. All of these things work, you know, so when we provide these different steps, they can recall that given a variety in situations. You know, a young officer from the Army might have to respond to a natural disaster, and then he or she is presented with this problem. So what's the first thing that pops into their head is, hey, first thing I hope they think is that is everybody safe? You know, is the immediate threat, you know, dealt with? Okay, once it's dealt with, you know, what's my next step? Those are the kinds of things that we want our cadets to be able to do, is have an 80% solution and then be adaptable to change. We can see that happen in an esports realm. So, hey, I give you this problem. There's your opponent. Here's the parameters of the game. Go in with a solution. But guess what? This team got your card. They know what you're doing. What are you going to do now? And that's that pressure.
Let the listeners know we're talking with Victor Kastner, Deputy Director of the West Point Simulation Center, Director of Army West Point Esports. And Victor, I think of you as a pioneer in a bunch of different ways, doing things that haven't been done in a place that has been doing the same thing for as long as it has been done in this country. Talk a little bit about maybe some of the feedback. I've seen a lot of stuff online. You guys are getting a lot of attention just for the fact that you're involved and doing this. And kind of talk about some of the goals of the program. Like, where would you like to see this in maybe 5 years?
Well, the idea there is like what we, like you said, we spoke about the West Point community, and then it came down to where do we find ourselves in the collegiate competitive world? The first thing I did was reach out to other directors that have been doing this for several years and then immediately learn. One of the biggest things I have to do is understand my position as a director and what do I understand to be true and how much more can I learn to get better. I'm definitely in this like figure out mode where I'm like, okay, did that work? I definitely do it by semesters too. Like this semester, I sit down with a cadet in charge. You know, this is a cadet that's specifically tasked with running everything that's cadet focused, all the different cadet leadership and things like that. Because this individual has the perspective of the cadet, and he or she now understands the stressors and the different schedules that revolve around them. So it's my job to mentor that particular position. So what we say is like, what did we mess up last semester? Okay, what do we want to do to change it? So we have this fall spring approach, because as you can imagine, during the summer, we shut down all club operations and we say, okay, from this date on, you're going to switch into summer training mode and learning mode. And then we get back into the academic year, and then we say, okay, let's approach the fall. Like, for example, we're going to plan for August this year of 24, which would be academic year 25-1, to say, okay, what did we learn from last year? How can we make it better? And that's extremely dynamic in that learning mode for that particular decision-making.
Looking back, assessing, planning for the future, always looking for the future and on the cutting edge of so many things. We love what it is that you do. We're going to have links up at WGNradio.com for that. And Victor, before we let you go, can you share where there are places that people can get more information or where they can follow what it is you're doing on social media?
Yeah, I would encourage people to just go to www.westpoint.edu/esports. You'll see our landing page on the westpoint.edu website. This is a place to get all the information. There's a link there for you to email armywestpointesports@gmail.com to ask any questions they want. If they want to go a little bit further, they can immediately go into Google, just type in Army West Point Esports, and you'll see everything we've done in regards to our social media and Twitter and Instagram. We do have a live stream. You know, we stream when cadets are available to stream, so we're not as regular as most people are used to, but it's all about the cadet's schedule. And then you'll find me on LinkedIn. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about what we spoke about today in regards to educational applications, design applications, and what Army West Point Esports is doing right, and, you know, sharing our successes as well as our failures, you know, because there's learning in failure. And you can find us all over on social media. At the point now where if we're doing a good job, you should be able to just Google search us and find us, no problem.
All the fun of gaming, of course, as I said, taking it very, very seriously. Thanks again, Victor, for all you do for the gaming community, the cadets at West Point, for your service personally. And thanks so much for jumping on the show today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, man. This is always fun. It's always great to talk about things like this because we care a lot about our cadets, and we want them, when they get here, to really feel like they have a second home.